My next guest is an Irish midwife based in Perth, Australia, who has just come back from volunteer work in Tanzania. Being a midwife in Tanzania is very different to what we imagine the role of a midwife is here in Ireland. According to figures released in 2010, for every 100,000 women who give birth in Tanzania, almost 800 die, making it one of the most dangerous places in the world to have a baby. Very frightening statistics. Midwife Jennifer Hislop, who you're very welcome to Global Village.
Thank you very much for having me.
Now, if this is not a testimony to the Global Village we're living in, I don't know what is. You're Irish and you're living in Perth, and then you went to Tanzania to volunteer. I mean, how cool is that?
I did, and one of my best friends came with me, and she's Australian, but she's originally from Canada. So we had quite a variety of people on the trip with us. We had a Scottish midwife with us as well. So it was, yeah, it was a really interesting dynamic and within our own little group before we even got to Tanzania. So it was very international.
And tell me, Jennifer, so where did you study midwifery and what made you decide to leave us and go to Australia?
Well, I had traveled to Australia with my husband when I was very young, before we were married and before we had children. And we just loved Australia when we traveled around. We made some really good friends here and we loved the pace of life and the good weather and all the great things that Australia has to offer. We went back to Ireland, got married, started our family, had a great idea to buy a house right at the end of 2007, which went about as well as you would imagine it did.
No, Jennifer.
Unfortunately, we were hit pretty hard in the recession, and we just decided that would be a good time to start working towards getting back to Australia. So we came out here in 2012. We had another baby when we came out here, and we just love it here. We've just settled in really, really well, and it's home now. We still come home, and we still have family come out and visit us quite a lot, so set up very strong ties to the community back home. I still listen to News Talk all the time, so I can talk to my dad about whatever's going on there. It doesn't feel that far away now.
I'm sure in your chats to your dad, you must be still giving out about the state of Ireland. For goodness sake, have you not learned any lessons?
I'm always trying to convince him to move here, but he won't. So
now tell me, I'm always fascinated about why people decide to go into midwifery, and did the fact that you had babies yourself make you decide to become a midwife?
Yeah, it did actually. I wasn't really interested in it before that. My cousin's actually a midwife in the UK, and I never even spoke to her about that really. But when I had my first daughter, which is actually 9 years ago today in the Rotunda, she was born, I really just became fascinated with the whole process of pregnancy, not just the physical aspects of it, but how it impacts on your life, your family, your outlook in the world, and what a singular experience it is as a woman to go through that pregnancy, and how it fundamentally changes you and all the people who support you through that. And I just became really I fell in love with the idea of it, to be honest. I worked in banking at the time, actually. Then I went on and had another baby.
That's incredible. You worked in banking, went from banking to being a midwife. That was some real astronomical, phenomenal awakening for you to change. There was a huge change in career direction.
It was. It was massive. Really massive. But even when I worked in banking, I loved the relationship management side of things. I loved helping people and talking to people and getting to know them and things like that. So even when I was working with the numbers, I was always more interested in the people than I was in the numbers. So
right, Jennifer, I wish you were my banker, and I also wish you were my midwife. You're just such so lovely.
Well, you know, I think it's part and parcel of being Irish as well. We just have that ability to go anywhere and do anything and make a friend along the way. When I was in Tanzania, I went into this small grocery shop that just sold Tanzanian fruit and veg, like fresh fruit and veg, and just normal grocery products. And there in front of me was Kerrygold butter from Ireland. I thought, how did that end up on that shelf? I bought it anyway, and it was great. Everybody loved it.
That's amazing. So talk to me a little bit. How was your experience actually giving birth? Because was it a positive experience? Because I'm always very interested about how women's birth was, because unfortunately not everyone's birth is positive and empowering and life changing.
No, it's not, unfortunately. And I suppose as a midwife, that's your objective for every woman you care for, is to try and give a woman that positive experience, regardless of her mode of birth or place of birth, that when she looks back on it, that she feels like it was her birth, that she owned it, and that she was able to enjoy some part of it. For myself, I had a very long labour with my first baby. My second labour was very dramatic, very quick. The first one I had a vacuum and an epidural. The second one I had a precipitate labour with no pain relief. And then the third one I ended up having a vacuum and an epidural again. But it actually wasn't until my third birth that I actually felt that I was in control. And I think that really has been the foundation of my practice as a midwife, that it's just so important that women are included in all the decision-making processes right from the very beginning. And only a midwife can facilitate that, a continuity of care midwife who speaks to women all the way through their pregnancy, gets to know them and understand them. That's where you get that really good experience from.
Mm-hmm. That's so interesting.
Not
because
necessarily.
Yeah, it's so interesting. It's just so interesting to me because your births actually had a lot of medical interventions, and yet you felt you owned them. And I think this is what a lot of people misunderstand when I talk about home births. You don't have to have a home birth to have a positive experience. It's as long as you are included in the decision making process,
exactly.
And you feel you've been heard through it. It could be a C-section. It could be with every single intervention under the sun, but if you have been included and you feel you're given consent to those, then it's your birth story, not the consultant's birth story.
Exactly, because every woman, regardless of how she has planned her birth, she has planned it. She may not have a birth plan written out, laminated with smiley faces on it that gets handed out to every person in the ward, but every woman from Ireland to Australia to Alaska to Tanzania, they come into the ward with an expectation of what is going to happen to them. And once you deviate away from that expectation, if you don't include the women on that journey, they just become afraid. They just develop a fear of what's happening. And that's what leads to poor outcomes for women postnatally. That's what leads to women not feeling that they had a positive experience, because they went in, whatever their expectation was, if it wasn't met, then that's, you lose them in that moment.
And speaking,
once you step away from what they're expecting.
And speaking of poor outcomes, going back to your volunteering work in Tanzania, I mean, those statistics are mind-boggling. Every 100,000 women who give birth in Tanzania, almost 800 die. So is this due to poverty, or is there a lack or political will to address the issue being a woman's issue? What's at the root of all of this, Jennifer?
Yes, all of those things, unfortunately. I've never experienced or witnessed poverty like I've seen in Tanzania. And I almost laughed at myself because I thought I was so naive going over there. You know, I thought I had an idea of what I was going to see and experience, but I really had no idea. And I'm guilty of thinking of African women as other. They're other women with other cultures, other belief systems, other gods, other practices, other expectations. But actually, they're not. They're just women just like me. They come in with the same expectations, the same wants, and the same needs, but they don't have the facilities there to give it to them. They just don't have us. I don't know why. And corruption is a serious problem in Tanzania. But I'm not sure if that's the only problem. I mean, it's just systematic, really.
What about
poverty?
But what about bird practices? Where are they in relation to, I suppose, leaving the woman to birth and own her labor? Or as a culture, do they interfere? Which is sometimes what many birth activists would criticize Western maternity services to do.
Yeah, it's a weird dichotomy, actually, because, I mean, here we do have, here and in Ireland, our C-section rate is too high. And they've got a great C-section rate, but they don't have a lot of interventions. And when you're in a labour ward and you see a woman who's in desperate need of an intervention, you think, I think I would rather have a slightly too high C-section rate than have this situation, because the alternative is dreadful. There was one lady in particular who had what's called placenta previa, where the placenta comes before the baby, and they just could not get that lady to a theatre in time. And unfortunately, she birthed her placenta before her baby, and her baby passed away in her uterus. Never happened in Ireland or in Australia. That woman would have had a C-section way before she ever went into labour. So it's... I mean, they're as bad as each other. If you have women who are getting C-sections, you don't need them, that's dreadful. But it's not any better on the other side, really. The women are left to birth on their own, but they don't have any intervention at all. There's nowhere near the same surveillance in the labour ward as there is here, so the interventions just don't happen. But that's not always a good thing either. It's difficult to know. I'm still processing that aspect of it myself. My training has been very much as little intervention as possible. But I've just come from a place where there's no intervention, and that makes me think we are so lucky to have the interventions that we have, especially if you consider that within the public system especially, everybody is just trying to get the best outcome. We probably don't go about it the best way, but that is our objective all the time.
And let me ask you, how did the experience impact on you as a midwife? Do you feel it has changed the way you practice?
Yes, definitely. I feel a lot more confident now as a student, simply because when I was there, all I had was my midwifery skills. And I've got a wonderful unit coordinator here, Dr. Leslie Klukas, who has spent 3 years drilling these things into us. And with the expectation that we would never have to do them, because we have pediatricians and obstetricians and registered doctors around us all the time. If we have a real emergency, then we have so much support arrive. But in those situations, it was just us, just student midwives with one facilitator. And we did have emergency situations that were quite dire, and we all managed to go back to our training and have good outcomes. So we had babies who were resuscitated and survived, and obstetric emergencies like shoulder dystocia, which we resolved and had good outcomes. I suppose.
I have to ask, anyone listening to this and wants to support the women of Tanzania, is there a particular charity that maybe you might recommend?
I was thinking you might ask me about this, and I was trying to think about what I could recommend. There is a charity called Days for Girls, and they provide reusable sanitary products for young girls in Tanzania. That is a great charity to support, because it's all women who handcraft these maternity pads, and they go over all the time, and the girls just love them. So I would definitely support them. And another charity called Birthing Kits, who send over small packs for traditional birth attendants who work in rural Tanzania, and they just have things like gloves and string and soap, just to make the birth a little bit safer than they actually are.
That's fantastic. Before I let you go, I want you to wish your daughter, because it's her birthday today, right?
That's right. Yeah. Caitlin, she's 9 today, and she's the apple of my eye. She's fantastic. But she wants to be an obstetrician when she grows up, but I'm working on that. So.
That's hilarious. All right. Jennifer Hislop, thank you so much for joining us here on Global Village and for talking to us from Perth, an Irish woman working as a midwife in Perth and going to Tanzania. Thank you. This is what you call a Global Village. Thank you so much.